Remember, you can stay up to date on the latest news with the Irish Independent WhatsApp channel.
On the latest episode of Real Health with me, Carl Henry, I'm delighted to be joined by Professor Anne-Marie O'Dwyer, chatting all things the psychiatry of cancer.
I want to say that it's very common to be very distressed, to have a very prominent psychological response to cancer, that they are not alone, that lots of other people feel in that way, and that it's important for them to have information. Information is power, but it has to be the right information.
As ever, we're available on all podcast platforms.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Throwing Football Podcast. Will Slattery here with you, and we have plenty to discuss today after the penultimate round of National Football League fixtures. I'm delighted to be joined by Dick Clerk and Anne Dunica Boyle for our chat as we near the end of the league and the championship comes into view. But Dunica, before we kind of reflect on some of the games over the weekend, one thing I did want to ask both of you about is, I suppose, the GAA's kind of place in St. Patrick's Day now. Obviously, the club finals for years had that famous slot in Croke Park and it brought so much colour and excitement. They obviously moved that to a different window. And with so much, you know, Cheltenham and rugby over the last couple of days, it's an exciting period. Is the GAA missing a bit of a trick, a promotional trick maybe, of not making, I don't know, a bigger deal of St. Patrick's Day and as the national sport? And maybe, I don't know, like, could Dublin Kerry, for instance, have been scheduled for the Saturday this year to kind of have a big tentpole GAA moment to kind of compete with some of the other sports that kind of have that window at the moment?
I think when we moved to the split season, you took that on for all that's good and it's bad. And part of that is the inescapable feeling that the season is rushed, everything is rushed, and everything is being condensed into a window. Even the All-Ireland finals last year, I found that really bizarre, that a week between the All-Ireland football final, there was no time to digest anything or build up to anything. So I just think that's a byproduct of the split season. I love the idea of the split season. I love how it works for club players. I think, like, I played at a time when, and I was thinking about this before we came on air, I remember going over to watch Everton in a match. And at that time, you, like, literally found out in the Meath Chronicle when you were playing, when it would come out in maybe a Wednesday evening. And you might have 10 days notice, and it might be championship, and it might be league, and it might be nothing. But I had two flights booked home from that particular Everton game because I didn't know what way the game was going to be. So the split season gives that certainty to players, and the county board can organise themselves really well. And I know what you're saying about have we missed the trick, but I just don't think there's another way to do it. And the other side of the coin is that the GAA aren't particularly good at promoting itself anyway, because they don't have to. They very rarely have to fight for media attention, anything like that. You know, they're actually media averse a lot of the times. You know, we don't hear from our big stars or big players in most cases. So, you know, it's just not in the DNA of the organisation. And I think split season has kind of shone a light on that. But it's just a byproduct of it. And I don't think there's an obvious way around it.
Yeah, I don't know. To answer your question, Will, have we missed a trick? Are we lesser off without having something on St. Patrick's Day? For what St. Patrick's Day is, a celebration of Irishness and traditions and all things music, arts and sport? 100% yes. So to answer that question, yes, we have. Now, Dunica, you're talking more about the split season, the byproducts. That to me, this is a separate argument. But to answer, we were giving the example, and myself and my father bemoaned it yesterday, that we had the parade here in Monaghan Town, great day, all the same that would have been replicated all over the country. Now, the weather wasn't too kind on us, but went down to the Harps club rooms where we put on music and everyone was back down for a few drinks and there was amusement. Great atmosphere. And next thing, what's on the telly? Liverpool, Man United. And my father comes in and says, Jesus, what are we at here? Now, there was no way you were going to try and take it off the telly. I think Derry and Mayo was on, but what was that? That was a sort of a, you know, that meant nothing as a game. It wasn't even an important game from either promotion or relegation. So there was no real incentive to watch that. And here we are in St. Patrick's Day watching Liverpool and Man United. So 100%. Now, what the solution is ties into what Dunica's asking. How do you do that? Now, there is an argument to be made. If there's a value of doing something almost purposely to have it on St. Patrick's Day, well, have that conversation. Like plan your fixture in the same way as the IRFU have done all over the last number of years, having a big Ireland-England, it was this weekend, it was Ireland-Scotland on St. Patrick's weekend. Like, that didn't happen by, that was happened by design. So why can the GA not do something similar? Do you know what I mean? Have a festival of Gaelic games, albeit through the league, on St. Patrick's Day. Have your biggest games. Try and have it. And don't make any apologies for it. Do you know what I mean? And maybe try that. But I do think I definitely hammered home to me yesterday, well, there's something wrong here. And it's not about bringing the club games back. I think that that conversation has moved on. But there's an opportunity possibly to do something, because definitely felt we were playing second or third, even fourth fiddle between soccer, rugby and Cheltenham this weekend.
Yeah, because as you say, it's a national holiday. GA is a national sport. The GA controls the fixtures. So, like, is there an argument you could do something like, if absent of being able to play a final of some kind, you know, scheduling maybe the previous All-Ireland finalists in a game, a hurling football doubleheader in Croke Park or something like that, just to get the big teams matched up against each other. As you said, the GA pick the fixtures. They can, like, it just felt a bit drab, a kind of a round six league match, as you said. Derry, Mayo, not a whole lot at stake. Didn't seem befitting of the occasion when other sports seem to be trying to shoehorn their big products into this window.
Even Dublin Kerry, like, no matter what they're playing in, I'll watch Dublin Kerry. Do you know what I mean? You put Dublin Kerry on St. Patrick's Day, I'll watch it, and most people will. With all due respect, Mayo, Derry, no, that's not going to have the same interest in terms of tradition. So that could be a simple win. So next year, you're looking at the fixtures, you know, Mayo and Kerry playing. That, there you are. And just sit back and see the difference. You'd have far more people would sit and tune in to watch that instead of maybe an FA Cup quarterfinal. So, yeah, there probably is a wee bit they can do with the powers that they have at the minute.
We're just not tooled up for self-promotion, the GAA.
No, we're not. And
going back to the point I made earlier, it doesn't have to. Very rarely has the fight for any sort of attention or coverage. Like, you know, look at the explosion of Gaelic games media in the last 15 or 20 years. And, you know, if you often go and watch other sports, you'll see the amount of media access that's actually built into what they do. It's just absolutely part of it. Like AFL, there's cameras in the dressing room. There's fellas being interviewed coming off the pitch at halftime. You know, in the GAA, we come out with a cold sweat. Like, there's all the data from the GPS and stuff goes up live on an AFL app, showing how many metres to run, where their heat map is and all that. If you asked an inter-county manager now to participate in any of that sort of stuff, he'd come out in a rash. So it's just absolutely, we're the opposite of sport. It's actually less is more in that regard. And it doesn't matter, because there's still 9,000 people in Armada Saturday night in a league match. There's still, you know, several, like all weekend, there was tens and tens of thousands of people paying, what is it now, into a match, 15, 17 quid, whatever it is, into a match. In what is actually the second competition. So it doesn't have to sell itself. So it doesn't think like that.
Mm. Yeah, it doesn't have to until the time that it does. And at that stage, it's too late. So I would agree with, I think there's maybe it's a separate conversation, but the media access, I think that's not a good thing long-term. I think that could be a death by a thousand cuts. I've noticed that just even on the independent website and just in general, you know, the GA has definitely been the sort of the lesser in terms of discourse and conversation in terms of sports over the last couple of months. That's my general feel. It's not been pushed up because there isn't the articles and the headline grabs, or David Clifford says this or Dara Kavanagh says this, you know, in the same way as you get from rugby. I think there's only so long you can sort of rest on your laurels on that, Dunnock. And I think there's, the GPA and the GA are asleep at the wheel on this one. I think, and it's not good. It's not healthy. It's not healthy for the players. It's not healthy for the team. I think it's a very immaturish, amateurish approach in terms of having a firewall and all this sort of stuff. So anyway, we digress. But I think they can't just get away from that for indefinitely either. You know.
And Dunnock, you know, obviously working in the media, are you one of the people who believe that it's been damaging moving the All-Ireland finals back the way they have and just the way the schedule is laid out now? Because as you mentioned, the split season and the byproduct of that, like, it's brought a lot of championship games into direct conflict with big Champions League matches, big Champions Cup rugby matches that ordinarily would have been like late season league games or very early season provincial games. Now you're having, I think a few years ago, like the Leinster football final was on at the same time as like a Leinster La Rochelle Champions Cup final or something like that. That's kind of their kind of new sporting conflicts that we wouldn't have had in the previous system.
Yeah, I think you definitely lose something. Like, you know, they say the GAA owned the summer, and it did, and it owned all of September, and it did. and it's given up that ground now. And if you look across the board, sporting organizations are looking to expand their footprint, not contract it. You know, the NFL will throw in a new franchise. The Premier League will try and get more games, or there was that breakaway Super League. Everything's trying to get bigger and bigger and take more space, have more games, make more money. That's kind of the way of sporting organizations. And I think actually the GAA deserves a lot of credit for taking the bold move of contracting their season and to make it better for the 99%, which is your club player. I think they deserve a lot of credit for that, because it'd be easy to keep doing the thing they always did and then lumber on through the, let the club player lumber on through that scenario, like I was telling you, where I had two different flights booked home because no one knew when the game was going to be. So that is the byproduct of bringing the games back. I do think the All-Ireland final suffered hugely. Last year's one, it was just mad to be in, to be covering the aftermath of the Hurling final, but also be thinking about the football final, which was in 6 days' time. Like, I think we're losing something there hugely. I personally think you could let it out another fortnight and just give the finals run to breed. If nothing else, give the finals run to breed, because they are like cultural events. You know what I mean? Certainly for me, like the Monday after the All-Ireland final, football final, the end of the season was sort of like an unofficial bank holiday. Kind of feels like that's been lost a little bit. I'm a fan of the split season purely for the club player. Not great for the county player who's on the carousel 12 months a year, basically. But I am a fan of the season. But that is, there is some big losses, and the footprint in across the summer and in September, and the occasion around the All Ireland final, the two most important games of the year, they are the big losers in the split season, in my mind.
Yeah, it's an ongoing debate, to be sure. And I suppose we'll only really maybe see the effects of it in the years to come, if interest levels around finals or what have you maybe dwindle a little bit just because of their placement. The move back to on-pitch stuff, Dick, obviously very disappointing weekend for Monaghan. That 10-year stay in the top flight was ended after their defeat to Tyrone. Like, what's the mood in the county? Like, I suppose, kind of expected after the last few weeks, potentially?
Yes, but I think, as I've mentioned on the podcast a few times, just the personnel and the just how Vinny's panel was very much hollowed out for the best part of this league has ultimately sealed their fate. Like, at the end of the day, that team that went out and put in a very good performance and a dirty night and against a sort of fired up Tyrone team and pushed them all the way, you know, you have to take great heart from that. And that team and that panel for the whole campaign, I'd be fairly confident we'd have stayed up. We'd have got enough points against the likes of possibly Roscommon, Galway, where we put up really poor performances. We could have got more out of it. But ultimately, like, this has been my point, this whole nonsense narrative about Monaghan punching above the weight. The league is agnostic. It doesn't care what your resources are. It doesn't care when you won All-Ireland in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. It doesn't care for tradition. It cares if you're good enough. And your placing in the league dictates that. Monaghan has been in Division 1 for the last 10 years because they've been good enough to be up there. End of story. This year, they got relegated because they weren't good enough to stay up there. And that's why they're in Division 2 next year. And that's just the black and white of sport. And that's where Monaghan is. And nobody in Monaghan is going to dispute that. That they weren't good enough this year to stay up in Division 1. Vinny, no, nobody is. We're concerned now about looking ahead to the summer. Is that panel, is Monaghan good enough still to compete at for provincials and All-Ireland series that we have been for the last 10, 15 years? And based on Saturday night, there's a lot of people coming away with a bit of confidence to sort of say, yes, if we can get our best players out in the pitch, we've still a lot to offer. So a bittersweet, very disappointed to go down, but sort of, you know, realistic around the reasons behind that. But when you see like Conor McManus giving Pádraig Hamsey a skinning in Oma to the point that he get taken off, that's quite remarkable in many ways. Darren Hughes, still one of the better players, Conor McCarthy back on. You know, that was good. That was good to see. So we're a bit more confident looking ahead to Cavanaugh in 3 weeks' time. But yeah, disappointing, but here, it is what it is.
I covered Monaghan against Galway and looked at the team, and it was seven of the All-Ireland final team, of the All-Ireland semi-final team, excuse me. The week before that was five, you know, and we spoke to Vinnie Corey after, and he just mentioned, I pulled out the quote here. He says, hopefully the tide is turned now with injuries from the very first kind of cup match this year. I think we've averaged three injuries per match. So that's a remarkable piece of just bad luck and put it down to whatever we put it down to. But that is extraordinary. So, and it, I would, from what I saw of against Galway that day, that shot themselves in the foot. I don't know where he had it.
Even with the poor performance, they still could have got something out of that Galway game.
Should have got something out of it. Yeah. I thought they were markedly better from what I saw against Tyrone. I thought they were significantly better, and maybe that's down to personnel or whatever. So, yeah. Wouldn't be still think they'll be their usual fells.
We'll compete. You know, sure, Ulster is what it is, and all the rest. We're still going to be all there in the series. So if we can get our, you know, Vinny and them probably just have to, right, that's, probably ran a few boys too soon, like even Ryan McInnesby came off with a hamstring injury again, and Vinny's probably kicking himself going, did he have a full game in him now? Is that another 3-4 week setback? So they'll probably just step back and say, right, now plan for Calvin in 3 weeks' time and get the bodies right, which they can do that now. So even, you know, knowing your fate a week earlier will help in terms of the championship preparation.
And just to look at the other end of the table, then we had wins for Dublin against Galway, Kerry over Roscommon, Derry beating Mayo in that game we mentioned earlier as well. Like, when you look around Division 1 heading into the final round of kind of the regular fixtures, you know, what team in particular do you think needs a flourish next weekend, or are you more intrigued to see what they can do? Because the championship is so near now that, like, form lines, you know, you think they might hold pretty soon. Like,
it's funny now. I think, like, even though I covered Meath and Cork, and like Colin O'Rourke was very upfront that, you know, their situation has changed now. They're going to give lads the rest. They're planning down the line. He said, we'll have one or maybe both eyes in Longford. So I think the championship is going to dictate an awful lot. Like Armagh and Donegal, say, for example, are up from Division 2. How important is that Division 2 final to them? So I actually think the next weekend and the weekend after could be notoriously unreliable barometer of form. I know what you're saying, that maybe this is the time to be coming right, and you can make that argument, but I could also see a scenario where managers are looking at this and going, well, here's a block, we've a good game. If you're Meade, for example, we can go training our hard for a block, we can give fellas time off, we can give fringe fellas a run, we can get a very high quality game against Donegal, who themselves may have one eye on championship or on the league final, which follows the week afterwards. So I'd actually be almost ignoring the next couple of weeks form in an awful lot of cases. I think in some cases you're going to have teams who want, like Derry have made no secret, they want the league final. You'd expect them to get it. You know, you could argue that you know, where are Kerry? They're still not really sure, but then I suppose Jack O'Connor can look at that and go, well, Kerry don't really need, you'd expect Kerry to win Munster again and go into the All-Ireland series, and it's then they need to be coming right. So they're still a nice few weeks away. So then a couple of weeks, I'd be viewing it with suspicion, whatever we see, be it good or bad stuff from anyone. I would be taking it with a pinch of salt.
If you take so I'm just looking now. So it's a Donegal Armagh League 2 final the end of March. I haven't just got the Ulster fix. I'm pretty sure it's probably 2 weeks after it, is it?
It's 2 weeks. Yeah, I was just doing something this morning.
Like,
yeah.
Knowing Jimmy McGuinness, his priority will be that Ulster Championship game. Like, is he going to, at the same time, he probably would like to get those guys to run out in Croke Park, you know, for something ahead, but is he going to run that, the risk of that, and go in full tilt 2 weeks before it? I would say he leaned for sort of, right, now start prepping and put out, and he would have done this, you know, time and time again in his first time as Donegal. He basically gave the league scant regard for all his time, you know, when there's Donegal before. Even if he got to a League 2 final or whatever, you knew they weren't at the same race as they would when you hit the championship. So I would sort of say it'll be a bit of a slow bicycle race, possibly, that League 2 final.
Donegal are going to Derry.
Yeah, so like that's where he's
20th of April.
Sharp.
So if you're Jim McGuinness now, do you go, like, I have a month now? You know what I mean?
Certainly not going to risk any player that might need a bit of rest and recovery that's put in a good league shift. Not going to risk anyone that's carrying a niggle at all. He might give boys that maybe Paddy McBrayerty needs, boys that need, you know, to get game time into the legs and a bit of sharpness. So I'd say you could see that. And now McGeaney, on the other hand, they could do it a bit of silverware. He'll probably see this, right? We need these boys have a lot of football played with very little to show for it. And I think Armagh will be going into that game saying, you know what, we want to go up to Croke Park. We want to get a bit of silverware, even if it might mean a whole pile. And I think that's what you probably see happen.
It's funny you mentioned like Derry and making no secret of wanting to get to the league final, but obviously they are playing Donegal in that game as well. So like, why do you think Donegal will be more happy to kind of not take the Division 2 final that seriously? I know Division 1 is a more prestigious final, but like similarly, like their match is pretty soon afterwards.
I think like when you're in Donegal and you're Division 2, and as Jim McGuinness will have, he'll have aspirations for them. So I think they need to be out of Division 2. They need to, that. So that was their priority for them. So I think that that was sort of mission accomplished to some extent for Donegal by bouncing straight back up. Derry, I just think, well, one, Mickey Hart's made no secret of it. You know, he goes for everything. Like his record in McKenna Cups in Tyrone was remarkable, and you know, he's carried that on. So I don't think there's been any, the fact that Conor Glass played and the Glen boys played down in Kerry in round one, a few days after winning the Club All-Ireland, I can tell you everything about how seriously they were taking the league. And as well as that, for this Derry group and this, like, the window's quite tight for this team. You can, like, certainly for maybe, you know, you're looking at Brendan Rodgers and the likes, who are brilliant players in top form, but it's around the 30 mark, I think. So, you know, I think they're trying to squeeze everything they can into these couple of seasons where they've had some, you know, made some serious progress. So I just think that Derry and Mickey Hart and the profile of the team, I think that's what, I think they would be very much up for a Division 1 title. Maybe it not, you could say that maybe it's not as important to Dublin, for example, who won so much. Or you could make the case that Kerry actually need a league final because they're a while off from their championship. It's 3 weeks before they play championship. So It just kind of depends on what way you cut the cake with this stuff, like where your priorities lie. But I can see certainly Jim McGuinness saying, right, well, I have a month now till the championship game, which will do a lot towards the final or summer. And, you know, that will, I wouldn't be surprised if his thoughts have turned to that already.
And Dick, like for Derry, like it does seem the way Mickey Hart picked that team for Dublin, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago now, that it was with an eye maybe of meeting them again in Croke Park in this league final.
Yeah, I think so. And listen, actually, the more you talk about it, we're trying to make a case for Derry, whereas the opposite doesn't apply to Donegal. I think really Derry probably have looked at themselves and sort of say, listen, they're in such a good place here now that you almost don't want to take a step back, and it's about keeping momentum, keeping form, you know, building the panel. Like he might run his best 15, like he might play his championship 15, but you know, these guys are popping up. And to be honest with you, because I've never played with anybody, and it's hard to actually distinguish a lot of these Derry panel boys coming in, because they just slip in seamlessly, hard running, you know, technically excellent, knit into a very good team. So there's a good chance he can go and play to win, but not necessarily with his championship 15. Keeping an eye on Donegal in 2 weeks' time. Like, all I know is that Mickey Hart, even from the time I was playing, he just loved winning trophies and he just loved racking them up, and I can't see that change. And like, at the end of the day, Derry have, like, no All-Ireland titles, they have a couple Ulster titles and a few sort of secondary league titles. You know, a Division 1 National League title is still something to cherish. And I think he'll be saying that to the boys as well. That's a medal that you can't take for granted. It tells an awful lot about a team and its stature in terms of its consistency at the top tier. Let's go and win it. So I think, yeah, he'll definitely win it. But will he be throwing everything at it in terms of risking injuries or anything ahead of Donegal in 2 weeks' time? You know, I would doubt that either, because he's not foolish either. He know how important that game against Donegal in Celtic Park in 2 weeks' time is.
Well, I personally really hope we get Brian Fenton versus Conor Glass. It was very disappointing on that Saturday night when the teams were named, and we were deprived of that, unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, especially when we were talking about kind of St. Patrick's Day TV slots, like that was one where the eyeballs were definitely on Derry Dublin, and when the teams were announced, unfortunately, it didn't pan out quite as we had hoped. Donegal, you mentioned you were at Cork and Meath, two teams who, you know, had a kind of up and down league campaigns, kind of struggled at times. Like, how are they looking ahead of, you know, as we said, the championship coming up on the horizon?
Well, it depends on what part of the game you take. Like, if you're Cork and you take the opening, like, they're okay, but they were very good in the last, I think it was 14 minutes. So Meade went 3 points up with a goal on 58 or 59 minutes. And then Cork kicked 7 on the spin without that. And Meade kind of stopped playing, had to really put your finger on what to do. But Cork were really, really good in that period. Luke Fahey got 2 points. Conor Corbett was excellent all game, finished with 1-3 from play. Like, he was a real handful. they couldn't cope with him. So their graph is definitely trending upwards, I think, as the season comes into view. And as we talked about earlier, they're probably going to be okay for Sam Maguire football. Now, that won't be finished out until the provincial finals are named, but they could do themselves a favour now and just propel themselves higher up the table this weekend against an NA team that, as we discussed, are going to Croke Park the following weekend for a league final. So it'll be interesting to see how they approach it. Meath were, I've seen a reasonable amount of Meath this year. They're very, very new, an awful lot of their team. I think Colin O'Rourke said on Saturday afternoon that there's 10 in the first National League season. I counted, I think maybe with the Loud game, that I'd maybe around 15 of the 26 were in the first or the second season of inter-county football. So with that, there's going to be ups and downs. So like, they conceded a goal at the first attack. They kicked the last 4 points of the half. So they do have these purple spells where it all comes together for them, and they do have periods where they just fall out of the game. You know, I saw it, for example, against Armagh. They conceded a goal right before halftime and a goal immediately afterwards, and that was the game done. So they're, you know, there's probably natural improvement in them over a period of time, but I think, like, you know, for me, after losing to Offaly last year in a small upset, we call it, you know, they'll be turning their thoughts to Longford now, which is in a little over 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah, it's been a funny Division 2 campaign, Dick. Like, you know, at various times, there's been a number of teams in crisis. Kildare ultimately were relegated after losing to Donegal, but Cork and Meath at various times in this campaign have looked under a lot of pressure as well. And obviously going into the last weekend, there's still a little bit of intrigue about who might be that second team who might get relegated. But there's a lot of, you know, obviously Donegal and Armagh with the class of Division 2, and then everyone else, it was a real slog of a couple of weeks for everyone else, it seemed.
It was. I'm looking for Manna, who, I mean, my half from Manna, my mother's from the O's, with a keen interest, and they've got sucked into there. They actually started off Division 2 really well. I think they got a draw.
And should have beaten Meath the first day.
Should have beaten Meath. I think they were unlucky against Cork as well. And now here we go. They're in a relegation dogfight, and their names just got sucked in there. It's probably the first time in the bottom two all season. I'm just looking ahead who they got. We had a Cavan, and, you know, border rivalries and all that. Cavan's, they'll be looking to bounce back after that difficult defeat at the weekend. I think they looked fairly pedestrian in the first half, so it'll be a few harsh words ahead of the championship game against Monaghan. So they'll be Monaghan, you know, so Fermanagh's not looking good. I'm thinking really it's Fermanagh and Kildare going down based on the looks, and Fermanagh don't deserve to go down, I don't think. But unfortunately, that, as I said earlier, but Monaghan, the league doesn't lie, and they are where they are.
I said they conceded 6-17 to Loud yesterday. Like,
that's whatever we're doing there, and that's not like for Fermanagh are usually fairly tight and dogged. So whatever happened there. Now, if first to Loud, I think Loud have been unlucky. Loud definitely don't deserve to be down the relegation. I think they were very unfortunate in a few games, so they sort of showed yesterday that that's where they're at. You can make an argument and say, Donnick, you can challenge me on this, being a Meath man, that Loud are at this stage the second team in Leinster, and deservedly so. And definitely don't deserve to be down there from based on the overall sort of narrative from Division 2.
Yeah, no, I would. I don't think there's much doubt about that. Certainly based on last year. You know, you could actually make the case for Westmeath as well based on their championship form last year. If you look what they did in the All Ireland series, you could say that they have strong claims to be the second team. But I think certainly in the Mickey Hart era, you'd have to say that Loud were that team to beat everyone, to beat Meath and Navan last year. Pretty sure to beat Kildare and RD last year as well. So, you know, I think they're and Westmeath are Division 3 team. So, yeah, no, I think Loud are, for what it's worth, the second team in Leinster, certainly over the last, say, 2-3 years for me, put it all together.
Yeah, they actually pushed Armagh and Donegal quite well. Sorry, I'm just looking at that. Like, they lost two games by a point. They probably ran Armagh and Donegal the closest out of anybody else. So, like, they're competing really well there. I think that their league position doesn't really tell a true story of probably their overall stat at the minute.
Division 2 is like that. I always think it's just so, like, you throw a blanket over. I think it was actually exceptional this year because Armagh and Donegal were clearly the two best teams in it. But usually there is nothing in it. Like, you know, even let's go back to, we mentioned that Meath from Manor game. I thought from Manor were a better team, to be honest, but Meath missed the late free to win that. Meath hit the post against Cavan to win the game, could have lost it as well. So if Cavan had to win that game, where would they be in the promotion picture? Or, you know, how would that have changed the dynamic? So it's always the tiniest margin in Division 2. I think you can make that case for every division, but Division 2 always strikes me as the one that, you know, hinges on the tiniest moments.
Yeah, and it's rarely decided until the last day, whereas actually this year is a bit of an anomaly that you've had not only Armagh and Donegal Street, so then you've Kildare. We're not talking about Kildare again. They've got enough air time, but you rarely would get a team getting no points, and that sort of distorts things as well. Like they've taken points of nobody, so it usually very much, and we said this earlier, like watch, the most intriguing thing is the last day of the lower divisions on the last day, because that's where all things get played out, and it's sort of not really playing like that for Division 2 anyway.
Yeah, and just to touch on Louth one more time, like a lot of was made obviously of Mickey Hart going to Derry, but his absence from Louth as well, like they could have easily maybe fallen off like drastically, but Gerard Brennan seems to have come in, and as you mentioned, Dick, you know, they pushed the two best teams in the division pretty well. They picked up a couple of victories, so they can stay up in Division 2. I think it will be a very successful campaign for Gerard Brennan, his first one in charge. Just to finish up, Division 3, like there is intrigue there. Obviously, Westmeath and Down drew at the weekend. It sets up Donegal Down versus Clare, and obviously Clare, we touched on it a couple of weeks ago, one of the success stories of the league, with Colm Collins stepping away. People thought maybe the end of Clare's kind of run is kind of knocking around that kind of second kind of tier of teams, but they're on the verge of potentially sneaking into Division 2. Obviously Down will be favourites for that game, but even to be in the melting pot for that is a massive achievement.
Yeah, I think everyone kind of expected to struggle, you know, not only with Colm Collins, but personnel were moving on as well. It was Owen Cleary was saying that, you know, we were playing for him, we played for Colm Collins, so that's how highly he was thought of in there. But Clare have been quite resourceful over the last few years, and I would imagine that the remnants of Colm's, called the foundations from Colm Collins' setup, is still there. So it was a matter of building that, much like Gerard Brennan in Louth. Like, you know, he's walking into a very motivated and very well a professional dressing room, and I would say that's a lot of the same too. I think Down in Westmeath for themselves need to be getting out of Division 3. Like, I think certainly, you know, I'm surprised they weren't out of it last year, and you know, at least one of them, they just need to step up that level, because just to keep the graph trending upwards for them, particularly Down, because I think they have a lot of potential, but they need to, you know, start getting up the rungs a little bit to show that.
Yeah, Dick, what's your perspective on Down? Like, they do feel like a coming team under Conor Laverty, but without getting that promotion next weekend, it will feel a very disappointing campaign.
Listen, Down are one of those counties that you could throw into a bucket with Meath, Kildare, Cork. Tradition has sort of always pushes their profile a wee bit higher than it actually is because of where the results at. You know, Derry were in that bucket a couple of years ago when they got their act together. They got their act together in-house. You know, any club conflicts, you know, were solved, bit of structure, and got the best out of, as what Donegal said, potential. Potential, as Nan says, the bars of the country are full of boys with potential. You got to go and do something with it. So, fairness to Conor Laverty, you know, he's gone in and tried to build, because there were issues with Kilcoo. There's no point in saying otherwise. There was issues with Kilcoo and the dynamic in Down football, which was not healthy and not conducive to getting the best out of the county team. And that's played out over the last 5 or 6 years. He's gone in, to his credit, to try to stem that. Proud Down man. And he's starting to get a bit of traction now. He just needs to keep that going. He needs to get Kilcoo players bought in to playing for Down, which they weren't. There's no point in saying otherwise. They weren't for a number of years there, and I know that for a fact. So they are. The Johnsons are throwing their work in. So let's see where that goes. As you said, the potential is there, but it needs to play out year on. So this is the first step. Big game for Down football and Conor Laverty against Clare at home. So we'll see where that makes them. You know, they've got, because Clare, you know, they shouldn't be going up there with the losses that they've had in personnel, you know, and if they do, well, I'm sorry, Down have a long way to go if they don't win that game. So that of all the games next weekend, that probably is the one of the most significant to watch. So I'll be keeping an eye out on that, because I don't think there's too many other real big games over the top three divisions other than that one, you know.
And it's a pity as well, because I think we were talking to GA and the promotional stuff, what they did with the Division 2 final round, put them all on Saturday night at the same time. If that had to be more open going into the final round, I think that'd be a great night's entertainment. You know, you could be doing your live league tables updated as it goes.
The red zone, the red button,
and that would have been great. But like, there's actually not a whole pile to hang your hat on this weekend. There's that Down game, there's the bottom, or just the top of Division 4. There's stuff going on there. But like we talked about Division One, like who wants it the most?
I'd say Monaghan don't care. Like Monaghan are usually the team who are providing us with all this late drama, and they didn't hold us back.
We fell going up the hill in Cheltenham. We didn't even get to the last hurdle. Sorry.
Well, I'd like to thank Dulica and Dick for joining me for our recap today. We'll be back next week to look back on the final round of Allianz Football League fixtures. In the meantime, you can subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or listen on independent.ie. So until next time, thanks so much for listening, and goodbye.